please, to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. And if you're using a Scofield Bible, that would be page 1302. We'll start with the 32nd verse and read through the 40th. Hebrews 11, 32 through 40. We'll read the verses responsively, and may we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, and this is the text verse, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed a valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Together also on verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
I was on the airplane. I sat beside a fellow, and I was talking with him, and he said in the conversation that he was an alcoholic. And I said, how long has it been since you've had a drink? I expect him to say last night. Please look at me now. I don't take notes while I'm preaching. I want you to hear me. I've got something for you. I'm not trying to lecture you. I'm trying to change you. And I want you to listen to me. I said, how long has it been since you had a drink? And he said, 10 years. I couldn't understand that. I thought an alcoholic took a drink every hour. And then he explained to me what I guess I'd known, but never had thought about it. He said, once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. He said, I never take a drink, but I'm an alcoholic. And I thought about that. I guess once you become an adult, you never do overcome a weakness. But I think there are certain conditions and certain plans and certain measures you can take that can help you to make that weakness strong. I ask you a question today. What is your greatest weakness? Now think about it. Answer yourself. Just think right now. What is your greatest weakness? Mrs. Evans would say, Dr. Evans is her greatest weakness. I would say, Dr. Evans is my greatest weakness. But what is your greatest weakness? Is it temper? Is it fear? Is it complaining? Is it an inferiority complex? Is it inferiority? Is it selfishness? What is your greatest weakness? Now the scripture said that out of that weakness can come your strength. Didn't say out of strength they were made strong. It said out of weakness. I get a little weary of people coming to my office and saying, I can't do that. That's just my weak point. My Bible says, out of weakness, they were made strong. Not out of strength. We think out of strength comes strength. The Bible says, out of weakness comes strength. John Mott said, you can become strongest in your weakest point. Now, I don't mean by that you ought to come down the aisle and say, I'm going to quit smoking, and then tomorrow you go down and tour the Reynolds tobacco plant in North Carolina. I think we ought to avoid the places and areas that would tempt our weakness. I made mention, for example, that I'm an intense competitor. I hate to lose. I would imagine I would hate to ever lose. But I hate to lose. I'm like the fellow, and you've heard it, you've told it, and I've told it. But I'm like the old story about the little boy that had a list of names. He walked up to a fellow, and he said, his fellow said, "What you got there?" And the little boy said, "This is a list of names of fellows I can beat up and whip." This little guy was talking to his big, broad-shouldered, husky fellow. He said, "Let me see that list." He said, "My name's on that list, and you can't lick me." "Okay, then," he thought, "I'll just scratch your name off the list then." And I never have liked to lose. One of the hardest things about rearing children for me was losing. I mean, I play ping pong with Dave when he was 5. I didn't want him to beat me. In fact, he never did. I hate to lose. I'm not a good loser. And because of that, when I used to pitch softball, years ago I pitched semi-professional softball, and I got to the place where I had to quit because one of my weaknesses was blowing my stack when the umpire. I was the Bobby Knight of the softball league. And I quit the game. I just quit it. Now, fellas said, "Well, why didn't you overcome?" I just quit it. I didn't want to confront myself with temptation for my weakness to manifest itself. They say the point where two pieces of metal are welded together is the strongest place of all. Something about the mingling of molecules and so forth makes the place where they're welded together even stronger than any other point on the two pieces. Now, what is your weakness this morning? Bible says you can be made strong out of that weakness. Attack it. Attack it. You say how? I didn't say how. I said attack it. If you resolve to attack it, you will find a way to attack it. Look at Moses standing before Pharaoh, saying, "Let my people go." That's the same Moses who just a while ago, when God called him, said, "I can't talk. I'll have to have Aaron, my brother, do my talking for me. I'll lead the Israelites, but I can't do any talking." I never heard Aaron go before Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." Moses stood like a piece of granite before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." Can you see him as he said? The Pharaoh said, "Okay, go, but don't go very far." Moses said, "We're going all the way." And Pharaoh, "Okay," he said, "go, but don't take the children." And Moses said, "We're taking the kids." And Pharaoh said, "Okay, go ahead, but don't take the cattle." And Moses said, "We're going." And he said, "Not one hoof is going to be left behind." He's talking to the king. That's that introvert sucked his thumb. That's the guy that Dr. Bill Rice used to say, God came to Moses and said, "Moses," and said, I want you to lead my people." And Moses said, "It ain't, Lord, I ain't taught their pain. I'm tongue-tied. I got a hell lip. I ain't taught their pain. I ain't do it." And God said, "I said, lead my people." And Moses said, "Lord, I ain't do it. I ain't taught their pain." And the Lord said, "What's that on the ground?" He said, "In your hand." Said, "That's a wad." He said, "Throw it down on the ground." He threw it down. He said, "Now what is it?" He said, "It's a snake. It's a snake. A snake." And the Lord said, "Pick it up." And Moses said, "Lord, never took talk very plain. Now I can't hear very good anymore either." And, I mean, his weakest point is his inability to talk. And yet the truth is, Aaron never got to say anything. God said, "I'll give you Aaron," but Moses attacked it. He got consumed, as I said last Sunday night. He attacked it. And his out of weakness, he became strong. Look at Gideon. The Lord came to Gideon. He was hiding behind the wine press to thresh wheat. When you got to hide to thresh wheat, you're timid. And Gideon was the runt kid of the runt family, of the runt tribe, of the runt nation, of the world. That's what you call a runt of runts. And God came to Gideon and said, "All hail, thou mighty man of valor. Well, Gideon wasn't a mighty man of valor. He was a little chicken-livered guy. And the Lord said, "All hail, thy mighty man of valor." And the first three words Gideon said were, "Oh, my Lord." Little quiet, introverted fellow, but he attacked his weakness. And out of weakness, he became strong. You see that same little fellow courageously taking 300 men and putting to flight the armies of the Midianites. Why? Because out of weakness, he was made strong. Admit your weakness. Find what it is. Don't resign yourself. "Well, I'm just weak in that area." No, don't do that. Don't do it. I mean, attack it. And from your weakness, you can be made strong. Now, nobody's going to believe this. Nobody ever believes it. But it's true. If I have a weakness, I always hate to say this because I get so slandered when I say it. But if I have a weakness, it's timidity and shyness. That's the truth. You know, I found that the case in so many leaders, of personal shyness. When I was a boy, ever had a weakness, I did, shyness. Time and time again, in church, I'd become so introverted. I mean, I'm 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. I'd start having a crying spell in church. And Brother McElroy would stop the service and say, "Mrs. Hiles, would you take Jackie Boy?" I'm not talking about a nursery kid. I'm talking about a junior boy. I'm not talking about writing notes and misbehaving. I'm talking about just start crying all of a sudden. I was the shyest of the shy. I never felt like I was as good as other kids. I never was as big as other boys. And God called me to preach. I couldn't believe it. And I decided God called me to preach. I was going to have to attack my humility, my timidity, my weakness of choosing the wrong words while I speak. But I'm going to attack my timidity. And I went to college, and I won't go into all these stories because you've heard it again and again, but I went to college, and I went to the professor, the dean of the college, and I said, "Look, I'm going to be a preacher." But I said, I'm timid and shy. And I said, I need to take some courses in speech and public speaking. In my first year in college, I took 5 courses in speech and public speaking. When I finished that year, I had not progressed 1 inch. They told me I'd never make a preacher. And so I can recall going off to East Texas Baptist College. And I remember I'd go out and I worked at J.C. Penney Company. What do you call those things, mannequins, those models? I'd get those mannequins back in the back in J.C. Penney store and line them up on lunch hour and preach to them. Nearest thing I ever saw, only more dummies than ever seen that the deacons. But anyway, I'd go back there during lunch hour and I'd line those mannequins up and I'd just haul off and preach and I'd get all up, I'd get these, have a suit on one guy and a dress on one gal. I'd line them up there and I'd say, "You bunch of sinners, you're going to hell." And I'd, what was I trying to do? I was attacking my weakness. I'd go out in the country. I'd ask somebody if I could borrow a building. I'd find an old barn, maybe, or pavilion somewhere out in the country, or an old building. It was empty, old church. I'd ask somebody, "Could I use this building tonight?" And they'd say, "Yes, you can." Or, "Could I use it this afternoon?" And, "Yes, you can." And then I'd get in my car. I'd drive up and down the country roads, and I'd say, "Hey, folks, tonight at 7 o'clock, I'm going to preach down here. We're not going to take an offering. Won't cost you a thing. I just want you to come, if you would, and hear me preach, please." And I'd line the crowd up. And the folks would come. If God had given me a voice like that, I'd be a Billy Sunday. And, I'd drive down a country road. I'd see a farmer out in the field, get out of a car, and go out in the field and say, "Hey, mister, my name is Jack Hiles. I'm going to preach down here after a while, maybe 2 hours from now, 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. And
I'd like you to come. And I'd line me up, maybe sometimes 40 people, sometimes 15, sometimes 4 or 5. And I'd get up and preach. And I was trying to attack my weakness, trying to get my timidity, become a timidity. I wanted to be a preacher. Let me tell you something. You don't have to lie in mediocrity and failure because of a weakness you've got. You can attack it, and out of weakness you can be made strong. I had a preacher friend in East Texas Baptist College, the same problem I did. And he had a dog. He'd take his dog out in the woods and preach to him. Just sit out. I've seen that guy out, that dog, looking at him. And the funny thing about it, the fellow's up there preaching. And the dog, you know how dogs do it, cock his head like that. And there he was, out in the woods, preaching to his dog. And I've seen that fellow out in the woods talking to his dog and telling his dog his problem. But he was trying to attack his weakness. I don't know what yours is, but you don't have to stay stubborn. You don't have to keep that temper. You don't have to keep that selfishness. You don't have to keep that lust. You don't have to keep that weakness. There is victory and strength. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Why don't you take that weakness you got in your life this morning? First, look at it and say, I admit it. This is it. And then say, with the grace of God, I'm going to attack it. I'm going to make it my strongest point someday. Now, I'm still a timidity-aholic. I'm still a shy-aholic. You know, I'll get on the airplane, and I'll be a fellow beside me, and I'll know I should talk to him. And I'll have to work at it. I'll have to stop and say, you got to do it. You're supposed to be. Or I'll try to witness to a guy, and I'll just absolutely chicken out. I was flying to Atlanta, Georgia. You know, these guys had big bass voices. Deep, like Mr. Who played while I had a big voice? Skipper. Boy, what a voice. Good night. God's called him to preach. I know he has. And I was sitting beside a fella. I said, he had a big, deep voice. He'd talk to the stewardess and say, oh, yes, I'd like a screwdriver. And martini, or bring me some, a Bloody Mary. And man, that voice intimidated me. And so we got to, right, and I tried to witness to him. I said, sir, can I ask you a question? Yes, sir, what is it, please? And I said, are you a, I was going to ask him to say, are you a, he said, am I a what? And I said, are you a northerner or a southerner? I still have it. But I want to tell you something, folks. I work at it all the time. I am not going to let shyness keep me from serving God. And there, listen, Paul said, Hebrew, he said, wherefore, since we're compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, the sin. He didn't say lay aside all sin, though he's talking about that, but he said everybody has a sin. A particular sin, a particular weakness, which does so easily beset us. Young men come to my house, Anderson College, and say, preacher, I just have to look at dirty magazines. I lust is my sin and my weakness. I just cannot get the victory. Oh, yes, you can get the victory. Lay aside every weight and the sin, that particular sin, whatever it is, you can. Now, you'll always have it lying dormant, but you can have the victory over it. Someone here this morning has a temper. You don't want to have it. You don't have to. I like what Dr. Malone said. I laughed and I laughed and laughed. Dr. Malone was preaching in about 200 miles or so from Pontiac, Michigan, and he got in the car and he was discouraged that night, late at night. He said he was driving home, and he said the devil sat beside him in the front seat of the car. And the devil said, how much you got laid away for old age? And Dr. Malone said, not very much. And the devil said, what if you died? What happened to your wife? Dr. Malone said, I don't know. He said, the devil sat there and filled me with doubt and filled me with doubt. And he said, I got to doubting. And the devil made me discouraged. And he said, all of a sudden, I hit the brakes. I stopped the car, pulled over side of the road, got out of the car, walked down the other side, opened the door, and said, get out. Get out of here! You don't have to resign yourself to that weakness. You can attack it. In the weakness, you can become strong.
Years ago, little boy, skinny boy, grapes for muscles, the hero of Gary Rice. He went to his teacher one day in class and said, "Teacher," said, all the big boys beat up on me. I'm the skinniest, weakest fellow in the class. All the big boys beat up on me." Teacher looked at him and said, "Charles, why don't you become strong?" And he said, "Well, I'm the weakest boy in the class. I can't whip anybody." And the teacher said, "Why don't you become strong? Get out here and lift some weights and take some exercises and build your body up and eat right and exercise right." And that little boy had something snap in his mind that morning. And the little boy said, "I'll do it." And that little boy was Charles Atlas, the father of modern bodybuilding and weightlifting and health clubs. Young lady in this room, young wife, came to me. And she said, "Pastor," she said, "my husband is not happy with me." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because I am just not affectionate by nature." And I said, "Then get affectionate." It was the wife of that fellow who just said, "Amen." And if you look at him carefully, you'll know why she's not affectionate.
But she said, "I was reared in a home. My mother never told me that she loved me. My dad never told me he loved me. My husband needs loving, and I am not affectionate. What can I do?" And I said, "Become affectionate. Out of weakness, become strong."
And that little lady, I talked to her and explained to her. I said, "At first, force it. But I said, do it." One of the sweetest, most affectionate, romantic ladies in this church is that little lady, and one of the happiest marriages is that marriage. Why? Because out of weakness, she was made strong. I'm not saying that she came
from weakness to strength. No! Out of weakness. Weakness can be the very ingredient from which can rise strength.
Man came to my office one day and said, "Brother Hiles, I've got the hottest temper in the world." And I said,
"Lick it." He said, I want to lick it. How can I do it?" I said,
"Okay." I said, "Get you a piece of paper and keep score. Count how many times you lose your temper every day. Keep score. At the end of the day, count. Come to me at the end of the week and give me your record and report to me at the end of the week." And every week that man came for, I guess, 3 or 4 months and brought me the number.
And he'd come by and he'd say, "Preacher, Tony got mad 16 times this week and he was 18 times last week." He said, "Preacher, I used to get mad 35 times. I'm down to 16.
That man attacked it, and won it 25 years ago. Somebody in Garland, Texas. I had a guest preacher. He came to preach for me, and I preached too. We had a special meeting, and after I finished preaching, he got up and he made a little fun of something I'd never noticed before. He made a little fun of the fact that I had cleared my throat quite a bit while I preached. I didn't know I did that. And to be quite frank with you, I was very embarrassed about it. I didn't know I did it. He said something about, "I guess old Hiles has pneumonia, been clearing his throat all during his sermon." I didn't know about that. And for years, good night, I guess for 18 years, I was afraid to have it checked. I knew I had cancer of the throat. I had friends that had cancer of the throat. And I didn't want to, I'd rather preach and drop dead than find out I couldn't preach again and just linger. And I wouldn't go to the doctor. Most embarrassing thing of my life. I know what Paul was talking about when he said he had a thorn in the flesh when it preached. It caused him trouble. I don't know what it was, but I was afraid. I wouldn't go to the doctor. Wouldn't have it checked up. I knew time and time again I'd preach across this country. And I'd say, this must be the last one. Finally, one night, walking down that alley, Dr. Streeter looked at me and said, "Preacher, you better be checked up. I said, why? And he said, because I think you're bad sick. He scared the fire out of me. I wasn't bad sick when I left the office, but I was bad sick before I got to the pulpit. And I checked into Billings Hospital over here in Chicago. Dr. Dennis Streeter checked me in. They put me in a little blue gown. Came about 10 inches above my pretty knees. And set me out in the hallway. And I said, Doc, put me in a little room somewhere. He said, preacher, we don't have any. I said, Doc, I can't stay out here in this mini skirt in the middle of a hallway. People, they know who I am. He said, preacher, he said, I don't have any. I said, there's a room somewhere in this giant hospital. It's here at the University of Chicago. There's got to be a room somewhere. He said, preacher. So he set me out there in the hallway. First, scout's honor. First person that walked by was a deacon in this church. Honestly. Listen, 7 million folk live in Chicago, and the first person, he looked at my little leg sticking out from under that miniskirt, and he said, oh, woo-woo. And I said, just shut up and keep on going. Now, I was right where many of you have been. I was spending the most traumatic week of my life. They examined me, examined my heart, found it was cold. Examined my head, they found nothing there. And then came the time they put me in a little room, said surgery. And they had a big old tube, about 40 inches, had a camera on the end of it. And they stuck that thing down my throat. And it took a picture of my gizzard, and Dr. Streeter had a little television set. These doctors talk about working. All they do is watch television. Had a little television set there. And the thing, about the size of a battery cable. And the nurse said, now we're going to put you to sleep. I said, no, you're not. I want to be awake. I want to know what's going on. So the doctor said, okay, I can deaden the throat. And he gave me some shots in here and deadened it. Stuck that thing down my throat. I said, now, Doc, listen to me. Tell me the truth now. When you see what it is, Doc, I want to know if you find cancer or a tumor. I want to know. Now, Doc, don't lie to me. I want to know as soon as you find it. And he promised he would. I couldn't tell you. My whole ministry is hanging him out there. I couldn't tell you. There's just no way, unless you're a preacher, to know how I felt. He stuck that thing down my throat, and I said, Doc, can you see anything yet? He said, Pastor, you can't talk now while it's down your throat. I said, you know, I bet I can't talk. Ain't nobody going to hush me up. He said, no, I'm not down there yet. He pushed it down farther, about another 6 feet farther. Doc, can you see anything yet? And finally, he said, Pastor, we're down there now to where it is. I said, Doc, what do you see? And he said, it's clear. He said, your throat's okay. Did you ever shout with a battery cable down your mouth? After I'd taken all those stupid tests, then he said, now, Pastor, I want you to come to this little room. I want to talk to you. I said, you told me you didn't have a little room. And we walked in, and he said, Pastor, he said, you don't have a hiatus. Little valve that opens up when you swallow your food, and then it comes back like that. He said, you don't have one of those. He said, I can look right down your throat and see all into your stomach. And he said, he showed me a little picture there, how my esophagus came to a little place here and tightened up there a little bit. And he said, now, Pastor, he said, you don't have to have surgery. He said, someday you may, but he said, I don't think you will. He said, if you could just preach 3 times a week, it'd be okay. And I said, Doc, I can't preach just 3 times a week. I've got a country I'm trying to help. But he said, Pastor, your throat's okay. You've got an esophagus problem. See, so what I do when I clear my throat, that's not my sinuses draining. That's yesterday morning's breakfast coming back up on the elevator. I eat the same meals 7-8 times. I got out of that hospital. I got out there in that little place in front of University of Chicago where Billings Hospital is. They got a big, wide park-like place, a part of the university over here and part over here, that big parkway in the middle. I got out there in the middle of that parkway, and I ran and ran and jumped up and said, glory to God. And I was hollering and screaming, and one of those long-haired hippie guys came up, and he said, what's wrong with you, fella? And I said, I can preach. I can preach. I can preach. I can't tell you how, but I want to say this. All those years. You know, I wouldn't have prayed near as much if I hadn't had the problem. And I wouldn't have worked as hard on my voice. Listen, every morning I get up and I go, ho, 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 ha, ha, one, two, three, four, ha, ho, ho, ho. Out of every morning. I was doing it back here right now. Every morning. Listen, I baby that thing. If I get the slightest, sometimes I, if I eat some meat, I don't eat much beef or pork either, but I don't eat much heavy meat. Because sometimes if I'm tense and I swallow a piece of meat, it'll get hung there. And some of you folks know what I mean. And boy, if I get the lightest, slightest, peanut butter will do the same thing. Tuna fish sometimes, I've kept a piece of tuna fish there for years. And you know, really this morning, what I'm doing is I'm praising God this morning. But you know, I baby myself. A few weeks ago, I had a little problem. I mentioned I stayed on. You know what I stayed on? I hadn't had a vanilla milkshake in years. I drank about 3 a day. Man, those things are good. Thank God for my esophagus problem. But I watch it and watch my voice. And I know I couldn't have preached all these years if I hadn't have known my weakness. And late December, on a Monday night, I walked out of the study, the church, and went to my room and got in a hotel room and looked at the figures I keep about my sermons. And I said, Jack, you know what you just did? You just preached your 40,000th sermon. And I had a spell. I guess if there's one thing I've got, it's a loud voice. And yet that's the weakest thing. The weakest part about me is my voice. And nobody ever has any trouble hearing me. They have trouble because they do hear me sometimes, but no trouble hearing me. You know why? Because out of my weakness has come strength. Not only strength to speak, but sometimes strength of heart, and strength of spirit, and encouragement. What is your weakness this morning? You don't have to keep it that. What is your besetting sin this morning? Attack it. You can do all things through Christ. For out of weakness, they were made strong. Father, bless them.